Blog Talk Radio.
To the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be.
Hello, everyone. It's the Rad Reality Show, and we're going to kick it off with our theme song tonight, Manic Monday, with Michelle Costa and Ron Rad. Well, tonight we have a great show. Welcome to everyone in the chat room, all the guests that's listening. Welcome. Welcome to the Rad Reality Show.
Call in at 347-237-5506. And when you do call in, push 1 if you want to talk to the host. Because if you don't push 1, I think you're just listening in.
Hello, everybody. Today is June 18th, 2012. And I'd like to say thanks for being here with us on the Rad Reality Show. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'll be your friendly co-host tonight, along with Mr. Paul from Minnesota. How are you doing today, Paul? Paul? Are you there, Paul? I don't know where Paul went. So we also have the host and star of our show, the wonderful Miss Michelle Costa. How are you doing today, Michelle?
Well, I'm doing fantastic, but I'm a little worried about Paul because he always has something to say. What the heck's going on with Paul?
Testing. Hello.
Oh, phew. Thanks, Lord. I was like, oh, my gosh, send out the troopers. We got to find Paul in Minnesota.
Did you get lost in the corner, Paul?
No, just before we went on the air, remember you both were hearing my phone ringing, so I muted my mic and I forgot to unmute it. But I liked your enthusiasm at the start, Cherry. Hello, everybody.
I know, I love that, Cherry. I want to give a huge shout out to the chat room right now because they are on and popping.
I'm telling you, we
love that chat room. Look at them going. Oh, my gosh, please. They're just the best of the best. So, chat room, mwah, I love you. Everyone listening, I love you. It's Manic Mondays. Did curiosity kill the cat? I don't know. I think we're all a little curious about a lot of things. Don't you think, Cherry and Paul?
I'm telling you, it's getting more interesting by the day. We are under a month for Big Brother 14, and they are starting to tease us a lot.
You think a lot? I think there's a new commercial on all the time. I was just like, I saw the new commercial that they just aired, and I was like, not one, not two, not three, but four. Can we play that clip? Because it was so much fun watching it.
All right. All righty. It is right here. Actually, Michelle, just to let you know, I combined two commercials. The first one is You Love to Hate and You Love, and then it's followed up by the 1, 2, 3, 4. So here we go.
Every summer there are Big Brother house guests you love and house guests you love to hate.
Nobody comes between me and my man.
Love. Love to hate.
This is awesome right here.
Big Brother is back. Who will you love to hate this season? New Big Brother season premiere CBS July 12th. This summer, Big Brother isn't just big, it's super size.
Go big or go home.
With the most house guests ever.
For you're never safe in this house.
And not one, not two, not three, but four. Huge surprises.
This is amazing.
It's Big Brother to the Max, premiering July 12th, only CBS.
Oh my gosh. Just had a little moment.
Yeah. Now, do they consider season 9, being as they were all couples to start with, I think there was 16. I'm thinking 16 is the most. Are they saying there's going to be more than 16 in that commercial? That's what they're implying.
Well, they said it's going to be the most house guests of any season. So it has to be more than the 16 because they included all the seasons. So I'm curious to see how it's going to go. I mean, there's just stuff flying all over the place, but you know what? Nothing's hit the wall. You know what I mean? There's nothing that we know that it's true. I think that, first off, there's a lot going on right now, seeing that today is going to be the Glass House premiere, and I think that they're just kind of like giving us a lot, and there's more to come. I feel like it's just the beginning of a little bit of tastes of stuff like supersized French fries, salt on top.
We have another Big Brother alumni on the switchboard. Would you like me to bring that Big Brother person up?
Yeah.
Mr. Cowboy Big Brother alumni, how are you?
Hello, everybody. I tell you what, I'm excited as well. And you know what, Michelle, I think you're right. By the way, hello, beautiful. And
hey, baby.
You
probably dreamed about me last night, but that's another conversation.
Big Brother has to go big, or they probably feel like that. But Big Brother did lose the lawsuit. I mean, I did see that in someone's post on some of the feeds and stuff where they lost their petition, whatever, against the House. And so, it's going to be huge because they're going to try to knock the other one out. I mean, we all know that. But, you know, Big Brother's been going on, number 14th season, you know, versus the first season. So, you know, it's going to be, I'm curious of how it's going to go. And I think, Paul, I think that you're probably right. I think they're going to have more house guests and possibility it might be a record amount this year.
Yeah,
you know
you're absolutely right, Cowboy. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry, go ahead,
thing,
Paul.
The other thing I'm a little concerned about is do you think they are trying to bring in an aspect of Survivor heroes versus villains, because there are those house guests you love, those you love to hate, and then they say 1, 2, 3, 4. Could there be four former Big Brother people who are, two of them are loved and two of them are loved to be hated, and they team up for, you know, four other people? Like, there's four newbies for each of those returning house guests, and that would be a total of 20. I'm just saying, Oh, gee, sorry about that, guys.
You're fine. You know,
Mr. Paul's super popular tonight.
I can say, you know what, producers, you have my number. Call me up.
Exactly.
And Michelle comes to play, saying the same thing.
Exactly. You know, the thing with the four surprises, I don't think that's going to be the amount of past house guests coming back. I think it's going to be a lot of different twists with the whole thing about having Survivor. I think it's going to be similar probably to people that you love to hate. People that really kind of didn't sit in the middle that, they really didn't do much. The people that you hated, you know. Yeah, buddy, my phone said. And so I don't know, but you're right. They did actually lose that lawsuit. And, you know, it was really weird because I received a lot of messages the day that they actually had the court papers. And if you guys went to, like, Hollywood Reporter TV or something like that, you can actually see the lawsuit. I'm actually in the lawsuit, you guys. Isn't that weird? Like,
really?
They say that one of the girls' audition tapes is exactly like mine. And so that was one of the notes that they had put in there, is that these house guests for the Glass House are copying past Big Brother house guests' tapes. And they're copying the rooms, and they're copying the live feeds, and so I start reading
the camera angles and the color scheme and the
everything, right?
Clothing,
the jacuzzi.
Oh my gosh, it was just ridiculous. It was laughable. By the time I got through looking at that, I was just surprised that their attorneys were actually going after that.
The thing is, I don't blame Big Brother. I mean, if I was producing a, I don't blame them, but it did help advertise the Glass House, you know, and I'm not trying to step on any toes or anything, but, you know, I'll be honest with you. What I've seen, I'm not necessarily worried. I think that, you know, the Glass House, really, to be honest with you, has a cheap production. And, I mean, I was listening to some of the live feeds this morning at 5 a.m. while they were playing like dodgeball in the backyard. To me personally, I think the audio is not as good as Big Brother, but I don't know. I mean, that's just on my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I think that, you know, CBS, if they felt like that this show was infringing on a lot of the things that they did, they had the right to do that, and I have their back. But first off and foremost, there's no show ever that's going to compare to Big Brother. Can I get an amen?
Right.
Amen. All right?
Absolutely.
Because you can try, but you're not going to ever be Big Brother. That's number one. Number two is, you're right, Cowboy. I think that by doing this, they actually caused – maybe Glass House is sitting back like, perfect. We don't really have to do much of advertisement. We don't really have to spend a lot of money because CBS is doing it all by doing these different things that, you know, these lawsuits and us talking about it and all this stuff is actually getting ratings for them. How many? I know there's a lot of people out there that are going to watch it just because they want to see what the whole debacle is about.
Yes.
You know? And like I said earlier, curiosity kills the cat. Meow. And we all are the little tiny kittens that want to know what the hell's going on. You know?
I'm mixed feelings about, like, what the house looks like. I mean, I want to
address that, Cowboy. There was actually a video posted showing a time lapse. I'm sure everybody's seen time lapses like this before, where there's been a major building or stadium constructed and they show in real fast time this thing being built. Well, the Glass House, from all that I can see, is actually inside a big, huge soundstage warehouse. So there is no outside. It's just this huge warehouse, and inside this soundstage, they constructed the Glass House.
Looks like to be an outside.
There is
so do you
no
think
outside.
That's the reason for the echoing that I guess I'm picking up?
Probably. They are totally if you walked on the lot, all you would see is a big, huge building. You'd have to open the door to the big soundstage building, go inside, and see this movie set almost of a house built inside. The dodgeball thing that you watched, those walls that appeared to be grass through the windows and clouds and blue sky, those were all paintings.
Yes.
Oh, well, I got a question. Is it true that the house guests of Glass House actually go to a hotel on the weekend?
That is what is reported. It is supposedly true. I tried researching to get a, you know, a confirmation and never found anything, but somebody is swearing that that's what they saw in court papers, that apparently every weekend everybody from that house leaves the movie set and goes into a hotel over the weekend, but
I have
not
all
sure
the court papers, so maybe I can pour over those and find you.
Wait, that
right
is
here.
Ridiculous. Why would they?
That is.
Why would they do that?
It's all staged. It's all scripted. I think this is not going to be as real as we think. I think there's probably a good half dozen or more people in there that they're just using to script. The one guy, Alex Stein, he's the first one to become the villain. They're all hating him. They showed a short commercial of him screaming at somebody tonight. He's going to be kind of the first person to hate. I'm going to wait and watch it. I want to see what it's all about, but I just don't know how real it is.
So many of these people have backgrounds. Their bios were so cut down. They have their bios set to where they say, oh, I'm a cook. Well, they were a cook 5 years ago. Now they're doing, you know, stand-up comedy, or they're on to doing
production.
Other things where they're, you know, a step away from doing TV. And they're using this as a big stepping stone to getting them onto TV. And almost every one of them, Paul has done research on and has found that they either have done TV before or they are a step away from doing TV now. And I think every one of those people in that house are using this show as a big stepping stone to stardom. And
yeah, good luck.
These people on their bios. They're not. They're not who they claim to be on those simple bios that ABC gave us. Paul can.
Well, if you listen to some of the bios, it talks about Love to Hate Me in their videos. You know, so that's kind of weird how now Big Brother is using, you know, love, hate, past house guests and stuff like that, where in the bios for the Glass House, they go, you're going to love to hate me or hate to love me or something, in a lot of the bios that I was watching.
Yeah, we talked about that
you either love me
last
or you hate
week.
Me. Right.
But I, you know what I'm a little confused about, and I don't know about you guys, what you guys think, but isn't the commercials really weird? Like, there's, like, a woman pressed against, like, a glass window, and it looks like she's being molested, and I'm like, is this a porno? Like, what the heck does this have to do? Right? Have you guys seen the actual commercials?
Yes.
Have any of you guys?
Yeah.
Do you guys find it to be, like, what the heck does that have to do with?
Like, the seduction and all that going on. To be honest with you, it reminded me, like, a... If you watch the old Bruce Willis, I think it's called Color of Night. I mean, it almost made me feel like I was watching him in this sex scene in a movie, you know, through this glass house. And it was just, I don't know, that's what came to my mind.
Yeah, it was just weird watching it. Lady pressed against the window, a guy comes up from behind, grabs her in the hands. I'm like, I swear I've seen this in a porno before. I don't watch too many. But I know there's a storyline. Like, it was just weird. I don't know. I think that's like,
all right, and just
them trying to go off on the whole, like, them being like Big Brother, but it just didn't make sense.
Yeah,
well, Michelle, last week you had asked me if I had heard any rumors about Big Brother. And right after you had asked me that, I think it was the following day, I started hearing rumors. And I kept one of the first ones that I heard, and they had a few PowerPoints on the rumors that they were putting out for the Big Brother house. And this is on one of the websites. I won't say which one, but they said that the first rumors that are coming out They're not confirmed, so these are just rumors. But the rumors are that there will be 12 house guests, initially be divided into two teams of six. Now, that's the first rumors coming out, so this might be now, maybe it's four teams of some sort of number instead of two teams, or maybe it's two teams of 10 instead of two teams of six. I don't know. But then the next thing it says is the show will feature one house guest from each non-All-Star season as a homage to Big Brother's iconic run. One of these house guests specifically might be Evil Dick, since his return last season ended in medical emergency. Repeat rumor from seasons past is that there will be three nominees for eviction this season rather than the regular two. Slot might be getting a makeover. Look for a new house with a twist a la Redemption Island for players to have another chance to stay in the game. And the ghost of Big Brother past will make an appearance as some of Big Brother's most memorable twists are revisited but slightly tweaked. And that was the first rumors that I saw coming out about Big Brother. So I wanted to go over those with you. And they sort of mentioned something that Paul mentioned about taking on sort of a survivor theme and doing the Redemption Island sort of, you know.
That sounds pretty much survivorish to me, kind of,
yeah.
With the Redemption Island and the team.
What do you think about someone that's played the game having a Redemption Island like that? Do you think that's fair? Do you think it's a disadvantage?
I guess you could look at it from both angles. But for me, I feel like sometimes some players that are evicted shouldn't have been, or circumstances that are out of their hands, like say like a coup d'etat or America's Vote or something where it didn't matter how the vote went, it got switched around. I think for things like that, it would
like
be great. You know, like the Russian roulette of vetoes, you know, kind of something. I would have been happy to have gone. But for me, it's like, you know, that would actually makes the game better because people that, you know, kind of got out quick than they should, or somebody who makes it far that doesn't have an alliance and that's really playing the game and is doing well, but they just don't have the numbers, gets kicked off, you know, at least it gives them a chance to fight for themselves to get back.
Right. Do you think that would hurt you also in the game if you came back? Do you not think you would be a target for that week?
Well, I feel like what they would do is sort of like what Redemption Island was, where though you got kicked out, you're going to stay and remain at wherever you are, and then say the next person comes who was evicted, and you need to compete with them, and so you're not going to technically go back into the house after you win. You have to actually make it through every eviction, and the last person who is standing after all the evictions gets in, and by the time they get back in, it's kind of like an open field maybe, or maybe they get some kind of power for doing it, like maybe they get a non-eviction week for them that week. I don't know.
The only thing that I see that I would be upset with, and I think you will agree, because a lot of, like, our ultimate goes is to get in the jury house. I mean, that's always a lot of our goes because we played the game. We know that that's our ultimate goal because of different reasons. But, you know, that's what is going to mess up the game is, you know, if you was actually going to be part of the jury and because of Chanel and you just got screwed.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just like probably Big Brother has been for a lot of seasons now, and it being the twist of it, you know, it's never been the strongest who won or the, you know, the smartest or whatever, you know, so it kind of keeps it going, but it's interesting to see how they would do it. Like, where would the person go? Is there like an addition added to it that they're in a soundproof room, or like where do they go? I'm curious
well,
to see that.
Well, I mean, in my season, when they did the twins going back and forth, they were actually in a RV outside of the house. Like, you know, our preparation place that they have for us, they stayed in one of them, and they switched back and forth. So they were still on site. They just was right outside of the production site.
Yeah, I mean, for me, these commercials, I'm just like, my mouth is watering. I'm like, oh, my gosh, like four big surprises. Hate to love, love to hate, all this stuff. It's like, oh, my gosh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. The summer's right around the corner. Everyone's going to get beach sand in their crotch, and we're going to have Big Brother. I'm just like, I don't know what I'm more excited about, sand in the crotch, Big Brother, or both at the same time. I don't even know. I'm getting tingles. Are you getting a tingle, Cowboy? I know you are.
You know I am, baby. You know when it gets this close, we're wanting that phone call, and it's still within, you know, reach.
Would you guys like to take a caller?
I want to bring her up, but while you're bringing her up, let me ask this question for the Big Brother house guest. All right, so the premiere is July 12th, which means they probably enter the house, you know, 4 days earlier, 5 days earlier, like the 8th or 7th, let's say. At what date do they start sequestering them in hotels, like 4 or 5 days before you first go into the house?
Well, I would think it would be the first week of July, don't you think, Cowboy? I'm not really 100% sure.
Well, in season 11, and I'm trying to not, you know, step on production's feet with this, but I was actually in there the longest with season 11. So I was actually there in June before July. So I was actually in sequester, I won't say before anyone else, to my knowledge, I was in there about 4 days, 5 days before anyone. So it all depends of different, you know, what they're trying to pull. If it's a regular season, they'll probably be sequestered the first week of July.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, first off, we all know that this premiere date of July 12th is a lot later than normal. So we all know that. I think the delay, they actually had it set for July 7th, I believe, until Glass House peeked its little head around the corner, and they made some adjustments. I think they didn't want to run at the same time as them, or I'm not really sure. This is just me talking. It's not fact or it's not definite, you know, but to me, it seems like it's a little bit ahead of time. But I think a lot of the, you know, if there's more people and it's going to be the same length of time, there's going to be a lot of double evictions, and there's going to be a lot of people getting out real quick. It's going to be crazy in there.
The reason I also – go ahead.
Well, no, if you have another question, go ahead, and we'll – we need to
bring
up a caller.
There was somebody in the chat room asking it, and this is what I'm getting at as far as when you go into sequester, is at what point, how far in advance will the individuals or possibly returning house guests get the call that they're in?
See, I want to answer it, Michelle, but I don't know if that's something that would mess us up in any type of contract.
Well, how about this? I have never been called back, so I have no idea. So I honestly have no clue about it.
Thanks.
Okay.
I'll say this. I had 1 week to get ready. That is the quickest I've ever got it. I had 1 week to get my life together for 3 months.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Anne-Marie, thank you so much for calling the Rad Reality Show on Manic Mondays. How are you today, babe?
Hi, guys. I'm having trouble talking.
Hey, hot stuff.
I wish. Hi, Michelle. You're the hot stuff.
I want fire.
I love Big Brother. I mean, I don't want any much changes to that. And when I saw the glass house, I'm not crazy about picking every, you know, picking what they eat, where they sleep. I like the way Big Brother does it. And I don't know. I'm not. Do any of you guys like that? You pick almost everything they do.
Me personally, no.
Hmm?
Me personally, no.
No, me either. Because I read some of the questions, and I'm going, you know, pick, like when Big Brother, you pick the food. I like that. I'd rather they do it. Because you have crazy people out there, and they always go way beyond what they get. Like, you'll have them they'll probably have them tied to the ceiling for a night. I mean, it's just stupid stuff. Well, you know what I mean?
Hey, Emily, were you in my bedroom last night? How did you even know, girlfriend? Stop peeking in my windows, crazy.
I'm just thinking that you're going to have people who vote the craziest things. Even when they say, all right, pick something that the house guest can eat. You know, I'm always saying, oh, let me pick something that they can eat. They always pick the disgusting.
Yeah, so, but you know what? It's not like you can just pick whatever. They give you something to pick from. You know what I mean? So it's not really like you have free reign of it. They give you options and you pick. But I personally don't think, like, that America should be picking everything.
Me either.
Bottom line. You know, we'll see how it goes. You know, I don't think it's going to be very good for the bar mitzvah guy from Massachusetts, one of the guys that I loved, because he ran over a bunny, like, multiple times. Like,
did you see the guy? I was watching it before the show. He said that to break up with his girlfriend, he pretended he was dead.
That was Hollywood.
Oh, that's his name? He said he was dead. They were saying what's the word, you know, what they regret in life. And he was saying, I only saw a small part. He said, I regret telling my girlfriend I was dead because it really upset her. I'll say.
Well, how does somebody tell somebody they're dead if they're talking?
I guess they had somebody else tell them. I was like, get out. Yeah, it like the people are going in. It looks like the bathroom. Have you seen that? They go into this little room.
You know, I tried to find some of the live feeds and I couldn't. So I only heard about the little baby bunny.
What happened to the baby bunny?
It was horrible. That was almost.
Well, what did they do? Kill it?
Disturbing story. This guy talked about hitting this bunny and then. He finds out that the bunny had baby bunnies, so he decided to run over all of them, too.
Oh, my God. Well, let's vote him out.
Well, guess what? I have a bunny, and my bunny's named BB, and if anybody ran my BB over, we would have some problems.
Oh, my
East
God.
Coast
today I was like hysterical trying to keep a cat in the house.
Anne-Marie, hold on. Michelle, the guy that did that is Irish Mike, the bar mitzvah DJ.
I love him. I love them. Well, you know, we've all had our dumb moments, but I don't understand if he hit the bunny and you hit the bunny on accident. So why wouldn't you try to get out of the car and save it? Give it CPR, try to give it mouth to mouth and it's a little bunny mouth. I don't know, but don't say, it's suffering, so I'm gonna run him over 10 times.
He looked at the dead mommy bunny. And saw all the little baby bunnies, and he decided they no longer have a mommy, I guess. And so his solution was to run over. Yeah.
I think we should vote for Michelle that from the Bronx's bear, Evie, to be put into the glass house and eat everybody. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, absolutely.
I want to vote that in.
Everybody. I shouldn't say everybody, but there's a number of chatters that are saying that there's probably a made-up story. He was probably just trying to get attention. That
or if they're actors, they're probably told what to say.
Yeah.
Why, you think they're actors in the glass house?
Oh,
I don't know.
Emily, where you been?
Yeah,
where you
been,
Emily? Have you heard Paul's investigative work?
Hey, and this is the thing, the black guy in the house, he reminds me so much of Marvin.
Oh.
You know, his build and everything. And I was, you know, he just reminded me so much of Marvin.
I was hoping that this year when they were saying it's going to be bigger, I like more competitions. I like the competitions where they, you know, make you do things or like, you know, how.
What kind of things are you talking about, Anne-Marie?
What you had to do, like, what, you know, stand on, hold the key.
I didn't hold the key. I held the side of a building for 5 hours.
Well, that was a good one, too.
Aye, aye, aye. Man,
let
me tell you.
Well, I know.
And I lost.
No,
hey, Michelle.
Yes,
let me tell you, I told you this story, but I don't think I've said this on air. But, you know, in season 11, I actually watched your season in Sequester all over again because I really honestly thought they were bringing you back. And so I wanted, out of all the players of your season, I wanted to study you. And so
everybody quiet. I need to hear this. Keep going.
But anyways, I literally studied every move that you made in your house and everything because I felt like in your season you were the biggest threat to me. You know, and in season 11, I think we were just now starting to become friends. But I just, you know, I honestly felt like that you was going in the house because you were leaving at the same time I was leaving, and it had me nervous. So I literally requested to watch your season in Sequester, and I watched it from episode 1 to the last just because I thought you were going to be on there. And then when you weren't one of us, I was like, damn it, I watched that for nothing.
Well, I mean, Jesse was on there, so at least you got to see how Jesse played.
Michelle, I loved when you were in the room and you had your back turned. And I thought that was a riot. You were pissed off and you wouldn't face the camera. And then when you won, like it was like, this is for you, Jesse. I mean, that's what I remember you of. You know.
Oh, gosh.
It was cool.
You know, I'll tell you what, though. A lot of people... You know, I'm sure Cowboy gets this a lot, too. But I had a lot of people, particularly that didn't know me, people that knew me were like, they already knew the answer. But they were like, you know, is it scripted? Did they tell you what to say? I was like, do you think that was scripted? The heck? Like, seriously, who does something like that, you know? All that was just true absolute emotion. And that was how I was feeling. And I'm one to, you know, in that house, you have to try to kind of stay back a little bit. But in that room, I felt like I could do and say whatever, you know. I literally sometimes was screaming at the top of my lungs just for like 2 minutes. I'm like, are you sure they can't hear me? Are you sure? That was my release, Cowboy. Don't you think so? Isn't that the one place that you were like, okay, I can be myself? And then you kind of put that little suit on and you walk out like nothing's going on and... You know, so let's put this out there that Big Brother, there's no actors.
I felt bad for you, Michelle, when you lost the vacation. And you were going, what mother doesn't take a call? What kind of mother? You're a lousy mother.
Listen, you know what? I was going to give that to my Mama Costa, my Papa Costa for their 30th wedding anniversary, okay? A lot of you guys have met Mama Costa.
Yep.
And if you haven't, let me tell you, okay, she is the cream of the crop. She rides that. She is amazing. And so the emotion that I had, I was just thinking about them. And, you know, to get a letter from them, to talk, to get 10,000, to get this, to get that. And I get the Hawaii trip, and then I end up in a freaking camel toe unitard. Okay, that basically emphasized my camel toe for about 6 days and freaking 23 hours.
I think that's what the glass house is going to miss because all these people are trying to make us like them, the public. So they're going to all be goody-goody to each other. You know, we're judging because they're all, every time I've watched anything, they're going into a room saying, well, I want this and I want it to be that. They're telling what, you know, about their lives.
And they're talking about all these charities that they're going to donate to if they win the money. And being the little
two-shoes. We've heard that before, haven't
yes,
we?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We're not going to mention any name.
No, a lot of people have already said, I mean, this is going to be a totally different show, and Big Brother has nothing to worry about, because if you're a true, if you're a fan, you're a true-blooded fan.
Aunt Marie.
If you need any other questions, we've got some other callers
on
the
I'll see you later. You have a great night, and Thursday again.
You too.
Thanks for calling in, girl.
Bye.
Take care,
Bye.
Honey. Okay, do you want to keep taking calls?
Absolutely. The only thing I was going to say was I think a lot of us are going to watch the first episode. Like, the first episode for them is probably going to have great ratings, and then there's going to be people that are just want to see it for the first episode. And so I don't know how it's going to go, but to me it just seems like the more we talk about it, it's not going to be anything even close to having the ratings that they're going to have for their first show.
All right. I think this next car is going to have something to say about it.
Bring them on up.
Michelle from the Bronx.
Oh,
how
snap.
How are you?
Yo,
oh, snap.
What is going on, people? I heard
oh, snap.
Snap. That must have been from my wifey.
Hey, wifey. You are wifey material,
hey,
I'm going to tell you.
You got your wifey over here snapping.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's how I like her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Cherry. What's up? Chat is in the chat room.
All right. Hey, Michelle.
All right. So, yes, I agree with you, Michelle, 100%. We're going to vote Evie up there to eat the shit out of Mike running over freaking bunnies. Seriously, if you hit a squirrel, you're going to keep going. You're not going to get out of the freaking car. And if you have a heart, you might pick it up and take it to a vet. You're not going to get out. Check it, run it back over, run it back, see the babies. Hell no. Big lie. I already went to Matt Hoffman with it. I said, you're the number one hugest liar ever on Big Brother. You cannot outdo the Matt Leg lie. That's what this guy was trying to do.
Wow.
Breathe.
He called him out.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap.
I'm transcribing this crap, and it's the hardest thing in the world for me to do.
Now, Michelle, we know how you feel about animal killers. What's your whole thoughts on the whole glass house thing? Are you going to watch it? Like, what are you thinking?
Okay, yes, I am going to watch it because I am the curious type, and plus I like anything reality until it goes sour. And they already went sour with that whole, and I call her the big O, the voice. They started off with Oracle, then they went with Ori, and some people were calling her all these other names. I just call her the big O, because every time she speaks, I'm going, oh. And not the O in the good way, because that would be a higher pitch. Okay, so.
Oh.
Me, Mikey? She knows.
Okay.
Cowboy, you hanging in there with this?
I'm starting to think about that glass house commercial. Okay, anyway, go on.
Okay, yeah, well, we can go. We're just going to make a quick left turn and say, did you ever see those glass? But then I said, no, don't go there.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to be transcribing it for my forum. And I think that I'm going to be killing myself, but it will definitely work all the kinks out of, you know, me getting back into the swing of things for transcribing for Big Brother. I don't think they're going to compare. We did get some slip video of the live feeds when the camera wasn't on them. And
what happened? Tell us.
Excuse me?
I said, what happened? Tell us.
Oh, it was way better. All of them are camera whores except for Apollo. And I think, Paul, you can agree with me on that one.
Yes.
Okay. I really, really think that there's this on-off switch. Some people are natural. Some people aren't. They're all whores when they knew that the live cam was on. And when they had the video slippage, which meant that their live feeds cut off, and then some viewers got to see the video feed still going. And I happened to catch some of that by the courtesy of somebody great that's around here.
Oh, you got me watching now.
I absolutely was like, this is what we want to see. We do not want to hear, okay, players, now, what do you think the viewers, because you're not fans and you have to earn their right for that, Like, seriously, if I wanted an announcer, at least give me Kat Dealey. Give me somebody sexy. I'm sorry, if I'm going to be in a house with a bunch of bozos, at least let me have a voice that I can fantasize about. I'm not saying I'm going to rub one out, but shit, you want to hear something pleasant.
I'm gonna have to stop right here. We're gonna have to do this.
We gotta do it.
I'm gonna express by guests and callers of the Rad Reality Show are not necessarily the views of the host or the sponsors of the Rad Reality Show, and are for entertainment purposes only. Some assembly may be required, and batteries are not included.
Okay, wait. So I'm a little confused. Wait a minute, because I haven't seen. You thank gosh for the disclaimer, because shit, it's about to get ugly in here. No, I haven't seen the live feed. So there's a person that talks and tells them, like, you're on now, why would America like you? Is that what you're saying?
There's a computerized voice that comes over the speakers, just like the Big Brother voice that we're all used to, which would be Richard Mike. And the voice tells them what the next question of things that we have voted on is, and tells them everything that they have to do. They have to gather in the living room. It's a fake Julie Chen, with no body, no face, no chin bot. All it is a voice. It's, like, horrible. Not even witty. Not even...
Michelle, this voice reminds me of my ex-wife. That's what
oh, gosh. Oh, that's not a good thing there, cowboy. I would think...
No, it's not bad.
If I was a doctor, I would prescribe you not to watch that show then, cowboy.
I know, right?
Well, no, I mean, the more and more we talk about it, it seems like they don't have their shit together. Like, it's going to be kind of like a train wreck.
Well, we love the train wreck. As fans, love train wrecks. That's why we would want to watch. I think what they're doing is they knew the lawsuit was coming. They probably had to change it around to make, like, it's not like Big Brother. And so they implemented this whole voice thing that's talking for one whole hour for the live feed. So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and it's one whole hour of blah, blah, blah. You hear Charlie Brown the whole time if you really were.
So is it like a GPS? Blah, is it like the voice on GPS?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It very much sounds like that, Costa. Sorry. It sounds like a computer-generated female voice that has no emotions in it and just kind of talks in a monotone, and it's very irritating. I want to mention this because it didn't air last week, but after they air tonight's premiere episode, immediately after it's done, at least on the East Coast, they will turn on 4 hours worth of live streaming, and my hopes are, in those 4 hours, it will not be like this and scripted, that we'll just be able to watch them interact.
Well, I don't know. I'd be like, not wanting to listen or watch or whatever with that voice constantly talking.
And that's what it is. They had to change up a few things, and I don't know if they did it legal, if they did it on purpose in the beginning, if that was their plan, but it super sucks.
I have a question for you, Michelle from the Bronx. I have seen teasers from Superpass or Reality Nation or Big Bro live feeds that they've got something special cooked up this season that we'll all, as fans and feed watchers, love. Are you able to tell us that yet, or is it still a secret? Mm. And if it is a secret, when will they reveal...
You mean the Mickey D's supersize?
When will they reveal the changes or what new stuff they're bringing to us this year? Do you know when?
Okay. Are you flat-out talking about Big Brother, or are you talking about Superpass?
Superpass.
Well... I'm
do you know stuff about Big Brother? Tell us both. Like, what do you got? Secrets?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, no. I have no... Yes, I have secrets, and no, they're not about Big Brother.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
we'll talk later.
No, I don't know anything special, Paul, unfortunately, and if I did, I wouldn't divulge them.
Okay.
I would be held to secrecy.
Did you go to the chat today?
No, I was busy cooking dinner so that I can get here, and then I wound up getting a phone call in between, so still was late. But
oh.
No,
okay.
I didn't think there was going to be a beta chat because we had a webinar on Friday. So it was my bad that there was that I didn't. But nothing.
I'm
was
calling
right.
you out, Michelle. I think you got secrets. I think
do.
You got some juicy.
I do.
Some good stuff.
Michelle, stop talking about my sex life.
I'm not calling. I don't want to talk about your stuff anymore. But anyway, like, you know something. Something's going on, and I'm excited to see whatever it is. So you keep that to yourself because even though I want to know, I kind of love surprises. So
I know there's something going on.
Wow. She even did the ba-ch-ba-ch. So you guys know that she got some good stuff. Come on now, who does that?
I don't know, man. How can I be single if I got good stuff?
Oh my gosh. Hey, you know, I wanted to go back a little bit to Cowboy, and you threw me off a little bit, my friend, my little chicken
okay.
suit wearer. You know, it was very, very interesting the comment that you had made that you're scared of little old me. Or my competitive
hey, that
ways.
That was back then. Now
oh,
I know
you're not scared of me anymore. Oh,
no.
You're not scared
yeah,
of me anymore.
We've already took care of that. We're good.
Okay. All right. I just I'm going to be looking at you side eye. I'm going to look at you a little different now. I'm going to be like,
no,
okay,
no.
I got to keep my hand in the cookie jar with him. Mm-hmm.
No. Well, you can keep your hand. So, the comment was, I mean, season 11, I was just getting to know you. It was very, very early in our friendship. Now we're like a couple of years in our friendship where it's a little bit different. I've met you. I've hung out with you. We've made out. It's a little bit different now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm still going to look at you side eye. I'm just saying.
Oh, my goodness. I love you.
I'm just saying. I'm going to be like, oh, boy. All righty. I'm wondering what's underneath that chicken suit. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Michelle Costa, I tell you what I need to do is if I did get the call to go back, I need to bring that chicken suit. So when we're in there together, we can play with the chicken suit. You can
oh,
play with
gosh.
My
yes. Well, I did a lot of playing with your cock suit up in...
Somebody's taking chickens and it ate rubber.
Well, there's actually a video. I know that people keep telling me that they see it. And you guys, I ran around a hotel in New Hampshire in a chicken suit at about 4 o'clock in the morning. Grabbing and pulling and doing a lot of really disgusting, nasty stuff that I'm sure you guys all want to see. So maybe you could, because you guys are all sick in the head like me, and that's why we love you all. You could probably maybe YouTube Michelle Costa in a chicken suit tugging at her. Yeah, just going to leave it at that.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't
yes.
want to see you grabbing anything. You know I'm jealous.
Oh, gosh.
Hey,
yes, Paul.
Jerry, before you bring up that next caller, I have to address something, so make sure you let me know so I have a chance, okay?
Okay, well, wait, if you might as well just say it, address it. Shit, go for it.
All right, hold on, I'm typing cowboy dropped off and is back.
Cowboy, you're back live with us.
Awesome.
Pat.
You know, all right.
I tell you
wait
what.
Wait a minute. Here's what I'm going to address. In the chat room, Postal Dave said that Cowboy and I sound alike. Are you freaking kidding me?
Oh.
I've got a southern accent.
Yeah, I don't know. He said that you guys sound alike?
Yeah. Cowboy's from Oklahoma. I'm part of Minnesota, don't you know?
They don't got no cowboys up there in Minnesota, Paul?
Well, I'm sure they have some cowboys, but they don't sound
like... They do, but they all ride snowmobiles.
You know what I say? Save a horse, ride a cowboy. Right, cowboy?
No.
No, save a horse, ride this cowboy.
Oof. Oh. Oh. Okay. Should we put that disclaimer up like 10 more times? I don't know. every time Cowboy and Michelle come on, it gets this like really XX.
It gets
XX
fun. It gets
rating.
Adult-wise.
Yeah.
Hey, Michelle, and Paul, and Cherry. This
is the Rad Reality Show. Are not necessarily the views of the host or the sponsors of the Rad Reality Show, and are for entertainment purposes only. Some assembly may be required, and batteries are not included.
Batteries
yes,
are not included.
Batteries should have been included.
yes.
Okay, so I want to say this about Big Brother, and then I want to ask you if you're watching a certain reality show. But one, this is what I think Big Brother should do. And, yes, it seems like a lot of people, but like you said, double evictions or so many goes out the first night. But what I think they should do is bring 12 past house guests and 12 new house guests and fight it out.
Ooh.
I even number 12 and 12 and fight it out. So many goes home the first night and do double eliminations.
Ooh. There you go.
That's
you like
okay,
that?
Yeah. Thing. See, go help Allison Gradner, would you please?
I know.
Well,
Allison.
I tell you what, you know, I tell you what, I think that if they did that, that would be like, bam. But so many people would have to go out that night. I haven't been in this house, and Michelle Costa could let me know on this. How many people could you fit in the house comfortable? And where you wouldn't go insane.
Oh, comfortable. Two people. No, that would mean that you're either gonna win or you're gonna be runner up. But no, comfortably. Well, you got the HOH room, which always has one person, but sometimes other people like to go in. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Kind of like the ping pong room.
Yeah. But see, well, I did hear this, that I heard another rumor, Cherry. You didn't mention this, and I don't think is that I heard they actually built a new house.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, they put an extension on it or something.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So they might be adding rooms. I don't know, but you know, it was already uncomfortable with the amount of people I had in mine. So, yeah, I'm the one that I got the last bed in the house. I was the last one in. So that's why I got the bed that was right in the light, right in the hallway with no door or anything.
who had to wind up sleeping in the living room?
The house.
Nobody slept in the living room in my season.
You're not allowed to,
yeah.
I think one season I thought there was a group of people one night or two nights that wound up sleeping in the living room, but I can't recall right now.
You're not allowed to.
I know you're not allowed to, but I think when they brought them in because they had so many, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I it could have been a one night thing. Who the hell knows? Maybe I dreamt it.
Was that
you? Probably dreamt it.
Yeah, because I dreamt about you in my dream. What the heck was that about?
Oh my goodness,
Jerry, go ahead.
Yes, Pa.
What were you trying to say? I could hear your voice.
Well, I remember them being in the living room late one night when they brought in the Survivor people, I think it was the Survivor people.
Survivor people?
Oh, yeah. Season two, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was season two that they brought in four.
Richard Hatch and...
Oh, and the black guy.
And Susan. And
I can't think of his name. He was on Survivor, and I think he made an appearance in the Big Brother house.
I want to interject something from Twitter because we have a listener that's not able to talk with us for reasons. And
hey, Cherry, can you pick up? I'm sorry to cut you off. Can you pick me up? My house was about to die. Thank you.
Okay.
Anyway, Pepsi Rich said he drove by Studio City, and he on Thursday there is construction, but no additions can be seen anywhere.
Wow.
But yeah, that's just one of the rumors. Like we always say here, they're rumors.
Right.
Nothing is thrown against the wall and sticking. It's just rumors, but if they're having more people come that they've already stated in their commercial, then they need to make room for them.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, it's interesting to see how they're going to fit all those people. That doesn't even mean all the people walking in the house are even going to have a bed that night. It could even mean that there's going to be people leaving before there's even a chance to pick the rooms.
I was telling you, Michelle, they should get rid of so many the first night.
Cabo, you can stay in my bed if that's the case, if you don't have anywhere to sleep.
Oh, wow.
I'm working on jury votes.
Oh, my goodness.
Ew, rubber chicken and now sleeping together. I've heard this line before.
Hey, Michelle, are we going to have a showman?
Hey, come on, are you guys really down for
showmancing? I don't want to divulge too much. We want to keep it, you know, interesting.
Oh, yeah, we want the viewers to pay attention to us, right? Keep it watching.
We want them to pay for their live feeds. We're going to pay for your live feeds.
Exactly. You're right, baby. So the other question is, are you watching The Bachelorette?
I am.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, I'm so jealous. My daughter, I think, is getting sick of me saying this. I should be in there. I love Emily. She is an amazing young lady.
She's a hottie boom body, I'll tell you that right now.
She is.
But she sold out.
Huh?
She sold out. All her goodness, she sold out, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is that, you know, everything that we fell in love with on the season that she was with Brad, and then the heartbreak that we all felt because of choosing the dumb wit, that now she, you know, she made them, you know, come to North Carolina, and, you know, she's taking her child with her throughout the whole journey, and I know she's getting a large sum of money. Not what the other one got before her. You know, she's getting, like, I think the other one got, like, maybe, maybe 30,000. Emily's getting, like, 750,000. It's an absolutely ridiculous change. And
Her story sells, though. And so,
yeah. Right.
And so they paid.
And that's why I said she sold out. Like, there's just certain things that I will never do. I will never sell out who I am for anything. Just how I am. And I looked at her, that what she brought to the screen was what we all fell in love with, and now what she's doing is not what we fell in love with. We did not fall for the girl that's making out with every freaking guy right now.
Well, I want to defend her, and I don't even know her.
I love that.
You want to defend her camel toe. Go for it.
I do. Hell yeah. This is the thing. I'm gonna say it on a father standpoint, and I'm going to say it on the other standpoint that you were talking about, on a father's standpoint, a single father, you know, it's not necessarily selling yourself. It's, you know, making sure that everything is provided for your kid. And I think that, you know, if someone offered me $750,000 to do a show with my kids, you know, all depends what it is, like a dating show like she's doing. I don't see it as selling herself out. I see her that she gets to provide for her daughter, you know, for college and stuff like that. That's what I see on that. And on the other two is I'm still a lover. But I'm in it on my standpoint as a single father.
I love her.
Well, she's easy on the eyes, I'll tell you that. She's cute.
She is.
I love it how she was like, I'm going to get South Carolina on their ass or whatever the hell she was saying.
I'm going to get West Virginia on it.
Yeah.
I love West Virginia.
For me, I kind of like it a little bit because, you know what, that is her. She's all about her daughter. That's all she talked about when she was on grad season was her daughter.
Yeah.
And I like it that it's different. I don't like the whole same kind of thing. I mean, they've been on for a while with Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So for me, I kind of like the little differentness of it. I liked it that she brought it home. Bringing her daughter around the world, to me, that's a little...
That's a free trip for her daughter.
But it's a little weird.
That's where I'm looking at it.
But at the same time, it's like it's not like a lot of them have met her. So if you're going to bring her and have her come, then I think that you should be introducing her because what's the point of her going to the guy, you know?
Yeah, she's not going that route. She's going to protect.
Yes, and you're right, Michelle. She's going to protect her daughter because I don't bring girls home because I protect my kid.
It's too much.
And production is paying for her daughter to fly with her and stuff, and I think that is great. But you know what? There's going to be a point in this show that the guys are going to get to meet her and be a part. And I love what she's doing is it's a tease. You know, the guys know that she has a daughter, and some are anxious to meet the daughter. But you know what? I don't introduce, you know, girls to my kids right off the bat, and I think what she's doing is being a great.
I like it because it's different than the other Bachelor.
Right.
You know? So, for me, I always liked her. I always thought that in Brad's season, she was one of my favorites. I mean,
I think Brad messed up. I think
Brad screwed up, but you know what? Look at it like this. These other guys, they made out because she is single now. But the thing is that she has to make sure that she can see through these men that are portraying themselves in certain ways. What's that guy? I can't remember his name right now, but he's always like, I'm talking. You let me talk first.
He's out.
Neon, whatever.
Okay, no, not him then. Not that Fallon or Talon or whatever. He's a weirdo. But the other guy, the personal trainer guy.
Ryan?
I don't know, but there's something up with him.
The guy that she just kissed and said, last week that he thinks he can get all the girls and now look at me, here I am kissing him. That guy?
Yeah. Right. I think so. He's got the darker hair, kind of spiky-ish.
Yeah.
There's something not right about him.
He's very cocky.
I feel like eventually...
He's the one that brought it to her attention about her, about the guy saying that her daughter... We're all on
baggage.
The same page, Renner.
Yeah.
Baggage.
He used that to his benefit.
Usually they had at least one person throughout the seasons of all Bachelor and Bachelorettes where there's been one person that's had a girlfriend and they were there for TV, but they kind of came out early with it. I feel like this guy has made it far and that he's going to probably have like a little secret, like a girlfriend or somebody just pop out of somewhere. Because for me, I feel like he's more like he wants to win. Rather than to win to be with her. Because let me tell you something. This is probably one of the best bachelorettes with a great girl. She's fantastic, and any guy's going to be lucky to be with her. So if they don't see that, get the step in. That's it.
I tell you, the race car driver has a great chance. He's one of my favorites. I mean, he's probably in the top three. And they, all the time... she's happy with him, but you also got to think that was her ex's, you know, job, you know, so sometimes we grow to what we're used to and she's used to racing. So I think he's got a good fighting chance.
I think they picked him out specifically. Like they wanted to get like the race car driver, the whole symbolicness of it. And I think they went through a lot of them probably really like questioning them and finding out their background and getting the best of the best, because I think that's what they're gearing for, is for her to eventually have him to be one of the main finalists. You know, it's going to be ironic if she goes with him, you know, isn't it? Wouldn't that kind of be like, kind of like not the best scenario, but like for Bachelor itself, like, she loses her husband or her father's baby. I don't know if they were married at that point. You know, in a crazy race car. Yeah, and then all of a sudden she ends up meeting another race car driver. Wouldn't that be, like, crazy?
No,
I
know of and everything that I have read, and it's strictly online stuff. I don't have any insight, so the whole family, the Hendricks Racing family, is upset with her being part of this show. Again.
Really?
Hugely. And she has money. She definitely does is not on the I need to do this for the benefit of my child to be better. She has
okay.
money. It will definitely make it easier on her. But she really wants to be married, and she really wants to have children, and she wants to have children, you know, their kids with Ricky at a certain age, like she has said. But I do not think that they purposely went out and found a race car driver. I think that he just happened to be one of the applicants that have applied maybe in the past, and they said, let's go back to the pool and pick some of these people and see what we can do for Emily. And they did try and pick some people that would be controversial, but most people that won't rock the boat that much for Emily because they see the value in Emily.
Oh.
That's what I think.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, her house is nice, and, you know, she probably did get a settlement with her,
Oh, yeah, I'm sure of it.
No, he was well off to begin with.
But the family has to respect the fact that she needs to move on and have a family, you know. I don't think it's fair for them to be angry at anything and to give her more hardship than she needs. But I'll tell you what, though, some of the dates that they go on, I'm like, oh, my God, really? Fireworks shooting out and you got, like, Dolly Parton, like, stuff like that doesn't happen. But what I really like, though, is how she had, like, the one that I was talking about before go to her house and make cookies. Like,
oh,
you know,
that was
those
awesome.
Are dates. Those are dates that you would not normally see on, like, The Bachelor, Bachelorette, you know? So I really liked it because it really kind of made you feel like it was kind of real intimate, you know, like letting somebody in your house. And, you know, like, it just felt more real than Dolly Parton singing, you know, and fireworks being exploded and all this stuff.
Or the country band in the back, you know, singing while you're dancing in front of everybody.
Yeah, so, you know, stuff like that to me, it's like, you know, you have these big expectations because you have these great dates and they're just out of the ordinary, extraordinary, over the top. And then when you get to real life and realize that you're baking cookies, you know, you need somebody that's going to be able to do that rather than somebody who's going to be able to dance or act like Romeo or something like that.
You
ridiculous.
Know, and Costa, you saying that, you know, when I try to date a girl, I want somebody that's going to be good for my kids, you know, and they kind of be able to come in and be able to, you know, not have, I guess, clash with what we do. You know, with me, you know, I'm raising three kids. You know, that's a big turnoff on some girls, you know, and, of course, it's a turn on to some girls. But they have to be able to mesh with our situation and be able to understand it the best that you possibly can. And that's one thing I guess I really love about Emily is I loved her, like you said, we all fell in love with her with The Bachelor, with Brad. And, you know, I really loved her. She was really personable, and I could relate to her. And so, you know, with Michelle Costa saying the family needs to understand, she needs to move on. And it might be the other side of the family don't want her to date anyone or marry anyone because, you know, they're partial to their kid or, you know, brother or whatever. And I totally understand that. But she's human, and we were brought in this world to be with, you know, somebody to back us up, and she needs that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, watching her and watching what she goes through, I can totally relate to her, you know, and I think it's probably the one Bachelor, Bachelorette that I think we all are like, you know what, that she would probably be the one that if she didn't pick anybody, it's because she didn't find it. It's not like her baby's father just passed away, like, the other day. When she went on Brad's show, I think it was, like, 7 years at that point that she hadn't even dated anybody. So I think that's enough time for everybody to move on, and poor thing, she didn't move on, you know? So it's not like it just happened the other day. And it, the timing doesn't matter. It's whatever is in, within the person. But I really honestly hope that out of the guys that are there, that she finds somebody. And if she doesn't find somebody, I hope she doesn't settle and she just decides on nobody, because she deserves everything for her and her daughter, because she's putting herself out there. And I give her real, real kudos for that. So.
Well, I hope she picks somebody. Because I tell you, in my mind, if she don't pick anyone, she was in there just for the money and not for anything else. Because, I mean, there was enough guys for her to, and like Michelle from the Bronx was saying, she's kissing up on guys. So, you know, to kiss up on somebody, there has to be some type of attraction. And, you know, I think that she needs somebody, but, I mean, because if, me, personally, if I'm kissing on you, something there, you know. So, I mean, hopefully she's not playing the system on production. And hopefully she's actually there for the real reasons.
I think kissing is a really intimate thing, you know. And, you know, people tell me, why don't you do The Bachelor and stuff like that? I just couldn't see myself, like, dating or kissing all these people and looking at them in their face and seeing their face, and I feel bad for them and, you know. I don't know, but I really feel like there's going to be one guy definitely that's going to be heartbroken. I don't see the connection. I don't see where it lies. Maybe I'm a little bit off, but you guys know, like, the 50s guy, the guy that has, like, the 50s hairdo? He kind of looks like Grease Lightning a little bit.
I love him.
But I'm sorry. I feel like she's going to break his heart. I just don't see them two.
Right.
It could be like an odd couple, but I can see him. He's already really kind of falling for her, and I think she's going to kind of
break it to him.
Yeah. And I think she's sending him mixed signals. I don't know about you guys, but I like him. I just don't think that they're a compatible.
That guy that you're talking about, I guarantee you, is loaded.
He has money. He's an entrepreneur.
We all do. Didn't they all have great jobs and were pretty much all
pretty
well
close.
Off?
Yeah.
They really did pick a nice bunch of well grounded and financially stable men.
So I had chance in this world to be on that show.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Oh,
but you know, you're right. They had money. A lot of them had some great money, and that might be something that she said, okay, I don't want someone to come in and take my money. Will you please get someone that's somewhat average to me? And that could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so. That was one of the reasons I think that what Hendricks had an issue with is not only the exposure that was going to happen to Ricky and their family, but also money-wise, that it might bring down the value of what they have already established. The family is behind her 100%, even when she was on with Brad, and they supported her. But doing it a second time around, they really were questionable about it. And I'm sure that they got some slack on it, you know. People were talking, you know, what have you. But they kind of just didn't want, you know, to get slapped again with tabloid crap. They're busy.
Did you say the Hendricks one?
Hey, guys.
I just want to make one point, and we'll move on to Mob Wives. See, me personally, I don't really care about the money. They can have no money. They can have a little money. They can have great money. I don't care, old money, new money. I personally just want them to go in a room with a ruler and come back out and let me know what the amount is.
Oh,
but
man,
anyway,
we're getting a divorce. I'm just putting
just
it out
kidding.
There right now. You know what?
Just
I'm
kidding.
My own neighbors.
I figured it was a good way to end the conversation, but... but no, Miss Emily, we hope you find love, and we'll have you on next week on Manic Monday. So everybody look out for Miss Emily on here next week. Anyway, so Cowboy, do you watch Mob Wives, especially Chicago Mob Wives, or I like to call it Cougar Town Mob Wives?
I don't.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I hope you can stay on, because let me tell you, it's going to get crazy, but we want you to stay on, but we're going to just... We're going to close up the show.
Hey, Michelle, I'm sorry to do this, but you know,
Paul, at least I know you're here. You always, if you're not cutting me off, I don't know where the hell you are. Okay, glad you're here, Paul.
That's what I do. You know, even though Ron, you know, gave instructions never to interrupt Michelle, I
don't follow those instructions, obviously. At any rate,
I don't think it's just with Michelle, though. I think that,
I just got zinged.
Ow! Zinged!
Let me say goodbye to Brandon. Thanks for being here, guys. But I want to tell the listeners that we just extended the show. So as often happens when we extend it late, in about 10 minutes, it might shut down and you need to refresh. I just wanted to give those instructions. And then you can tell me when to play the Mob Wives theme.
All right, let's play the Mob Wives theme. Ow. Eardrums. But anyway, that song is starting to grow on me. I didn't really wasn't too crazy about it in the beginning, but I guess I was kind of looking at it like, you know, the Big Bang and how great that song was and comparing it. But it's starting to grow on me. What do you think, Char? You like the theme song?
I do like it as a theme song. I think that they were, you know, up against a tough one trying to, you know, find a theme song that was going to even compare with the original Mob Wives. And I think they did a pretty good job. I like it. I do. It's a good one. I think they did a good job.
It's catching on. And are you
it
saying
it is too
anything?
Loud, though, Paul. It does need to still be brought down a few decibels
okay,
on that.
Thanks. I'm going to do it right now.
But, I didn't really understand the theme song until I watched the first episode last week. And then after, at the end, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. So this week was a little bit crazy. Now, who's your favorite, Cherry? Like, who's your favorite? Who do you, you know, still try to figure out? And who do you just, you want to just punch him in the face?
I don't know. I
it's
kind
hard,
of like the
it?
Blonde,
Renee.
I like her. I think she's, you know, trying to raise her girls and.
Well, doesn't she just need
so
a bra
far,
to do
I,
that?
Pardon me?
Doesn't she just need a bra to do that?
Oh, Paul!
That's
Paul gets
really bad.
In the marsh!
Wow.
You're going to get sent to the corner with three women up here. Making
oh, don't
a comment
you have any
like
suggestions,
that.
Cherry?
I'll back you up.
Oh,
Bubba.
Boy. You know, I like her. And, you know, she's, I felt really bad when, you know, about the whole thing with her child. And it seems like there's a lot more to the story because how is a criminal and somebody who doesn't work and doesn't have a job and doesn't have any of those things can go and just take a kid, you know, out of nowhere. But I don't like her judging people in their lives. She has her life. She's made her path. She's done her bad. And I feel like when people have bad things
right.
or they make bad choices, they like to point out other people's bad choices.
I don't like the Ooh. Fact that she judges the one that is
Pia.
Out there working and
Pia.
Making
the
Pia.
Stripper.
Right. I don't like the fact that she judges her and puts her down and acts like she's above her. I'm still trying to figure out who I really like out of these girls.
Yeah. You,
and,
you know, with the whole
I need
thing,
to get Joe up here because he...
Yeah, we need Joe. We need Joe.
There's so many of these women that seem to be emulating, and Paul and I talked about this earlier, they're emulating, or they seem to be, many of the original Mob Wives.
I think Leah is trying to be Drita.
And, the one that came up from Florida is somewhat trying to be Karen.
Nora?
Nora.
See, I like Nora. I think she has an agenda, and that she has a, you know, one goal, and that's it. And whatever happens to everybody else, she'll be there, she'll be sympathetic, but she really has her own agenda. That's what I like about her.
She's a little kooky. She's a little oh, there's nothing wrong with that. But she's a little loopity. Like, I feel like Xanax or Valiums or something. But that's so messed up to not know if your dad is buried.
She's gonna have
her dad. I couldn't live with that.
The more and more that you, like, you listen to it, to me it's like, what, is he in hiding? Or is he, like, in the witness protection program? Like... Because she better, like, exhume that body or exhume or exam.
No, that was the funny part.
Exhume.
That was really funny. Their grammar is worse than mine.
We have Michelle from the Bronx. Now we have our other two Mob Wives aficionados on the switchboard. So I'm going to bring them both up.
Aficionados.
We have Mr. Chi-Town Joe. You are live on the Rad Reality Show on Manic Mondays with Michelle Costa.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
And
hello,
we have
Joe.
Miss Dina. Thank you for calling the Rad Reality Show with Manic Mondays with Michelle Costa. How are you doing, girl?
What's up, everyone? Hope everyone
is in the house. 420's in the house.
Lift it up if you can remember.
Wait, what did I just say?
So now we have our full Mob Wives cast.
I thought you were going to say Full Monty for a minute. I was like, holy shit, I got to, you know.
Well, we can say that, too.
But I got to remove a few pieces of clothing, but.
Yeah, I got a Full Monty.
All
these lovely ladies.
Oh, I bet you do. And Cowboy, is Cowboy still on? Sure, he is a Full Monty.
Cowboy's still hanging with us.
Good. Cowboy's like, I don't know what's going on, but I like the Full Monty. So. So, Joe,
can hear your sexy voice.
Go ahead.
Joe, I just want to, you know, I want to know what Joe thinks.
I have a lot of things to say, really, but I'll try to keep it as short as I can. On my show, I was talking about, what's her name's father you were just talking about. Yeah, he died of a brain tumor, and I think that the feds did the autopsy on him because he was in federal custody at the time. They did bury him there. Mm-hmm. I find it very suspicious now how the show's starting to turn out in this episode, because I've never seen a woman in a red sports car pull up in front of a Chicago circuit court and just park the damn thing in front of it and go walking right in. And was Nora is her name, right?
Right.
Yeah. She is nuts because her dad is buried at St. Mary's Cemetery in Evergreen Park, which is the far southwest side of Chicago. And they were filming in, I would say, fall. They started filming in fall, you know, like late fall. Because you can see there's no, like, trees in that scene that have leaves on it. And the damn thing is closed.
Before you go any further, I have never seen a cemetery with hours before and a gate where you can't go in unless it's historic and it's like, you know, many, many years old kind of thing. I've never seen anything like that. Is that really locked up for a certain hours?
Yes, there is, especially the Catholic cemeteries here in Chicago. They are closed on more holy days than anything else. That's why I was suspicious, because it's light out. Any day, 7 days a week, if it's light out, even in the winter where there's a mild winter here, they could have been filming in December, right? well, why is it closed?
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense to me.
Four, so.
And then when she went to that, the funeral director, she gets all that information? It doesn't make sense to me. But he is buried in that grave when they, or she says, resumes it, you know. Or
yeah, she wants to resume her father's body.
Yeah.
Joe, why would they have to do an autopsy and not allow his body to be there for the funeral? I've never really heard of that before. It's, to me, the whole thing is really shady.
Yeah, it is kind of shady, but you know what? I think Bronxy could probably talk more about if you were in federal custody and let's say you died, and rather suddenly, they'd want to do a autopsy on you because you were in federal custody.
Right.
So,
but couldn't they have gotten that all taken care of before and then be able to set the funeral? It just doesn't make sense to me.
You would have think they would have had, they should have had that done before the funeral, before they have him, you know, at the cemetery ready to bury him. They should have had all that taken care of. And, you know, then they have the funeral. They're ready to, you know, they're waiting at the cemetery for him to arrive to bury him. And the funeral director shows up and says, you know, we can't produce your father's body because the feds just came and picked his body up and took it.
Well, that's what
just
she
like,
says that
some
they
kind of
said.
Movie script or something.
But you understand it is what it is when she says it is. That might not be because she also got pissed off that her sister had control of the body because she found that in the paperwork.
Right.
Do you guys remember how she said in the beginning before, she's like, I don't talk to any of my family. I haven't talked to them in years.
Right.
I don't know what's going on. And then in the next scene, she's like, the blonde Renee was like, well, why don't you call your sister and ask her? She's like, no, I don't want to ask her. But I thought she wasn't talking to her family. So was she talking to them or not? That part I didn't understand.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Because, I'm sorry, that's something that I don't care if I was mad at my family or not. I would have figured that out a long time ago. And I'll tell you the other thing, too. If I was at a funeral of my father's and they came up and told me that my father's body wasn't there, first off, that funeral would not be going down because I'd be flipping everything in front of me over, back, front. I don't even care. It would not happen, period, until he was in that casket and I was able to see him and see him go down on the ground. I'm sorry,
right.
But that's just how it goes for me. So the whole thing doesn't make sense.
I need to cut
sense.
In. I'm sorry. I got to get ready to cover Glass House for my forum, so I need to bail on this. And,
but can you give us a little bit of insight before you go?
All right. Well, I don't know about what the federal government does when a body is dead, when a dead body happens inside the prison. They do release it to the family, and it's up to the family members. But if there happens to be an autopsy, the autopsy guy can be corrupt as well. I mean, you're talking about Chicago. It doesn't make sense. Is it the body that went in there? She wanted to have proof. She wanted to see the body in the casket, and they told her no. So she's always going to have that, and she doesn't have the closure. And I think that that's what's driving her, and that will always be something in your head. You have all of us in our lives have the, I want to know the answer to this, and I had that chance. So I don't know. I don't think it has to do with the federal government holding the body in it. Or he's like, you know, they switched out bodies and they were playing a joke on, you know, everybody, and he's in witness protection. I really just think it was, you know, just somebody dropped the ball, somebody didn't care. You know, somebody else that was working the papers said, screw that, this guy screwed me over, and I got like, demoted. So I'm going to make sure that, you know, this happens to the family. I really can't say anything else. I'm in all speculation in every direction with it. There is nothing concrete from my past that I know absolutely anything about this as far as a dead body in a casket. Now, I will tell you, though, if I go to my spiritual side, I wouldn't want to know anything. If that body wasn't in that casket and it went into the dirt, that means it's still roaming around the earth someplace. So heads up, all you people that owe that guy something. That's what I say.
Michelle, what time does Glass House.
9 o'clock.
On the east coast.
9 o'clock. So
in less than a half hour.
So I really got to get
it comes on at 9 my time here, which is 10 your time there. So.
Oh, yeah, 10 o'clock, but I've got to get ready for, I'm sorry, my bad. I've got to get ready for my form. I've got to prep everything. I've got to put a bunch of crap away, take the feeders
in. And I don't know if you want, Michelle, I don't know if you want to try to do it, but I did see a tweet from the official Glass House Twitter, and if you hashtag ask the, I'm just going to post it in here. After, when they fire up the four-hour episodes, you can tweet, and they might ask your question. It's hashtag ask the players. I just posted it in there.
Yeah, I'm going to be updating. I'm going to be transcribing for 4 hours. I think, I don't know if I'm going to want to ask a question more than just make a stupid statement to them. So who the hell knows?
All right. Well,
that sounds good to me.
I'll be there. I'm definitely going to be there. You guys all know where to find me. You know what my Twitter is, you know. And if Evie comes or the bear falls down, I mean the tree falls down and I lose power and you don't see any tweets, then you know which one came first, the bear or the tree. I just screwed
right,
you guys up and
care,
made total left turns on you.
You take
thank
care
so much, Michelle.
Thank you
too.
So much for
thanks
taking
for
my
joining
call.
Us tonight,
I'll talk to you guys all soon.
Bye,
all
right? Wifey.
Bye,
wifey.
Wifey. I won't divorce you online.
Okay.
All right. I love you. Bye.
Alimony, bitch.
I just think that there's some just some bullshit. Excuse me, but it's true with this because, as you say, Michelle, she's not talking to anybody she knows, and we don't know a lot about why she wasn't and what kept her in Florida for those years quite yet. But if she plans on exhuming that body, it's going to take her a while because everybody has to sign off from the family. We just had a major controversy here, and the newspapers found out where the medical, the coroner's office and just the county of Cook, which would cover all that, where these women are and Chicago and all that, they had 350 bodies piled upon each other and nowhere to bury them. So there is some truth in what Bronxy's saying, you know. To some point, but it has to be like she says, you know.
Hey, can I say something, Joe?
Yeah.
I feel like when we first had started talking about it back when we were still watching the original Mob Wives, and you had told us about Chicago Mob Wives coming out, and you were like really excited about it. In your voice, you kind of seem a little bit kind of like disappointed about what's going on so far. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I think so to some extent. I tend to agree that there is some, well, especially like how they shoot it. They're shooting on the north side, and the next thing you see, they're on 70th Street, you know? And it's connected together, and it doesn't make any sense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we watching it from where we live, we don't see that. But you being
here
from Chicago and you're there and you know it and see the things, you're seeing it from a totally different perspective.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean,
so it's
you
good
know,
to get an insight on my on what your thoughts are. You know.
Well, I'm coming from on this one is the two people that I think are going to be the best and the most, well, the realest person is Leia.
And oh, yeah, the girl with the curly hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Leia.
L-E-A-H. Hey, guys, did you love the previews of next week when she slicked all that curly hair back? Holy cow.
Let me tell you something. I have curly hair. I know when you slick it back, it's not.
That's why I brought it up.
and I don't know of any mob wife that goes to see a shrink.
That's
well, there was one on the original Mob Wife.
Yeah,
right.
Well, you know, and also, if you were making that point, Cherry, last week about Renee's sister. Well, she's producing this one, too.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. You watch the end titles, and it's Jen something. That's her sister.
I'll have to keep watching for that. I want to make a quick announcement before too many people start leaving the chat room. We're going to have a special Wednesday episode on the Rad Reality Show. We don't have too many, or we don't ever really have Wednesday shows, but we are going to have a Wednesday show this week. We're going to have Nabila Hannis from Storage Wars join us. And so if you are a Storage Wars fan, we'd like to invite you to come and join Nabila Hannis at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central to talk about Storage Wars. So I wanted to let everyone know that there will be a Wednesday show this week. Just in case you watch Storage Wars, it's a great A&E hot show. It's been on for a few years now.
I'll watch it.
Stop by and talk with Nabila Hannis of Storage Wars on the Rad Reality Show. So
pretty
I wanted to get that out of here before too many people.
I'm sorry.
And I did also want to say something real quick. Cowboy number one, happy Father's Day.
Yes.
Happy Father's Day to Papa Costa. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there that are listening. We didn't mention it yet, but hope you all had a fantastic day, and I hope you spent it with your kids, your father, or whoever. You know, and you had a great day. So I just wanted to throw
thanks,
that out there, too.
Thanks for that, Michelle. And I just have to say I had a very enjoyable time with my dad. I always get emotional, and it's flooding me right now. There's so many people that I know through the internet who tweet on these days saying they miss their dad because their
mm-hmm.
dad has since passed.
Yep.
And I don't know why I feel somewhat guilty. It might not be the right word, but I still have my dad who is 89, will turn 90 in November. And I was able to spend it with him yesterday, along with my sister, who just moved back into town. And it was fun.
That's awesome, Paul.
You know, the thing is, you're very fortunate. You know, you shouldn't feel guilty by any means. And, you know, it's awesome because I feel your pain for everyone else. Like, you know, of course, my stepfather died. And, you know,
right.
I tell you what. You know, this is what I think, is it is part of life, but, you know, the thing is I got to spend it with my kids yesterday, and it was great. I didn't have to work. It was amazing. We went
wow.
and had Italian food. It was really nice.
Well,
I'm glad you had a great day, and, Paul, I'm glad you got to spend it fun. Don't feel guilty about stuff like that. What
no,
you should do is just cherish every moment that you have with him, you know, and tell us the stories because we love to hear them. You know?
All right. While we're in announcement mode, I want to give the floor to Joe real quick, Joe.
Yeah, I was selected to host the Chicago premiere party for BB, and it's
awesome.
Not going to happen. Yeah, but it's not going to happen because
why?
Every club wants money up front because you know you can't go in there and just say yeah I represent CVS or I represent Real Player, you know, and they look at you and then when you're pitching it and then they want to know exactly how many people are going to be there and stuff and then they because they have to cover their ass, you know, and. And then they wanted a lot of money up front, and I wanted to for BB friends fans to come in, have a good time, meet some people, meet each other, but and raise some money for Toys for Tots for Portsmouth. I can't do it. I even went as far as going to the new casino at O'Hare Field because
yeah.
I figured
well,
I'd get Lane in.
Joe, I knew you had announced that ahead of time, and I just wanted to make sure people knew the change of plans.
Yeah.
And
it breaks
and
my heart, Paul. It breaks my heart.
You know what? You still have time, Joe. I mean, the thing is like if I was a bar owner or a restaurant bar owner, whatever, and you're telling me, hey, can I do this here? And more people will come. I'll be like, hey, sure enough. Because,
I've been trying. I even went through James Ryan, and he's just opened up a nice place. But I've tried. I first tried Cubby Bear for Ron, you know, because there's no
mm-hmm.
ball game that night. because it's the last night of the All-Star break. So,
yep.
And all those bars up and down Clark Street are going to be essentially closed because nobody's going to be
such
around.
Cubby Bear is such an iconic bar.
Yeah, and I had a band.
I've been there many times.
I had a band ready to go, you know, before the show.
Yeah, I know. Okay, Joe, I'm sorry to cut you off, but in the interest of time,
yes. Oh,
I'll be the mean guy. I'll be the enforcer. But with the time constraints, we do have some other things to talk about. Sherry certainly does. If Dina, you have anything you want to touch on that's going on with you, maybe you can get that out of the way real quickly, hon.
Oh, Lizard Lick, I called over there this morning and told him I had some friends that loved the show as well as I did. And would it be possible to come by? And do you know what? I spoke to Patty, and she said, what time would you like to come by? And come on by. It was
shut
that,
up.
That simple.
Awesome.
And I also sent her, I said, well, listen, I said, just want to make sure because I had taken a picture when Cherry said she loved the show. So I took a picture of these guys in town, and I sent it to Cherry. I said, are these, you talking about these? And she said, yep, that's the one. So I'm going out there Thursday morning, and I'm going to be Thursday night. So
lick that lizard, girl.
how about our other callers, Cowboy? What you got? If you need to highlight anything here, real quick.
Well, August 10th and 11th that weekend, going to Louisville, Kentucky, Autism for Children. It's the Stampede. It's going to be a great event. American Idol, Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race, plus more is coming together for children. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And David and Mary from Amazing Race is a part of this, and I can't wait.
I'm so bummed out. They asked me to go, and I'm actually supposed to be leaving for Portugal August 2nd, and I don't come back till August 15th. So, bummer, right?
Well,
and yes, I'm really going to I know, Cowboy, you're thinking it's weird. Here I go again. Off to Portugal I go. Don't start looking up any kind of videos on me to investigate what I do and how good I am at competition, weirdo. Anyway.
Good point. Okay, Cherry.
Well, we have one of our regulars who is in need of prayer. You know, everybody knows our Phil, who has been going through some health problems. He's had some major surgery. He's been around since Ron was here. He was one of Ron's friends, and he has had a setback, and I'm so worried about Phil right now.
Yeah.
And he really desperately needs us all to pull together and really pray for him right now, because he is in some dire need for prayer. His health has had a setback, and I'm just so scared for him right now. So please, when you say your prayers, include Phil, and just pray for his health to get better, because we really need to see him healthy and back here with us.
Yes, we do. We're thinking about him and his family at this time, and we just want him to get back to being better and healthy. And so everybody do what we normally do and start working those prayers.
He's such a good guy. And
yeah.
We need more kind souls like him in this world, let me tell you.
I amen to that. He is such a great guy. And it just breaks my heart to think that he's had a setback. I was so hoping that we'd soon hear him say that he was pain-free and he was healed and he was doing so much better, and the setback is just breaking my heart. So I really hope that the doctors can do something to turn this around and get him back on the path that he needs to be on to get healed and get back to health. So.
All right, we'll do that. Everybody that listens are such good family members that will remember him, I'm sure. Real quickly, happy birthday, 70th birthday today to Sir Paul McCartney.
Yay!
Also want to mention that the new season of Weeds begins July 1st. And
the last
for a short,
season.
The very last season.
For a short appearance, episode 3 is Sugar Kuiper. She will be on just a bit, episode 3, which is on the 15th of July. But on the 29th of July, in episode 5, she'll have more of an appearance on that. So that's fun for us that have watched
Sugar
on Survivor.
All right.
And
I
unfortunately, for the fans of Dog the Bounty Hunter, if you haven't heard, Dog is done. They are in the final few episodes. And I do see one new episode next Saturday, but it might be their last. So thanks for entertaining us for 8 seasons to Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And I also wanted to mention as well, rest in peace to Rodney King, who passed away this weekend.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Rodney King passed away, actually. They found him in a pool or something. I don't really know the details of it, but, man, hasn't he been in, I mean, I just remember the L.A. riots when I think of him and the injustice and how he really kind of set foot, you know, the black and white issues. Can't we all just get along? I mean, I'm sure everybody knows his name. So he definitely made a name for himself. Unfortunately, it's how he did it, but he definitely made a turn and a lot of changes in how people and officers or people in uniforms to do their job and not take it for granted or take abuse of it. So
right. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you, Michelle.
Absolutely, but you know, you guys, we're it's a Monday to us. This is a great day. It's always epic, manic Mondays. A lot of people don't like it because it's the start of a work week. For me, it's my Friday night, so I'm gonna let my hair down. But we are just packed full with different shows that are on. I mean, Hell's Kitchen, Master Chef, Bachelorette, Glass House, which is going to be on tonight. You know, we got America's Got Talent, Dancing with the Stars.
We've got a few different dating shows
which are a little weird. Love in the Wild.
June 27th, we have a beginning of the 27th season of Real World. We got stuff to watch, people.
So much reality, so little time.
I know. Thank gosh for DVR. I'll just tell you that right now. Because
I know. I've got to go watch it right now.
Absolutely. And I'm sure everybody else, too, is. But I first want to thank, you know, the wonderful, the fantastic, everybody loves the cowboy. I'm going to tell you that right now. For the fantastic cowboy to join us and just
thank
give
you,
insight on what his thoughts are. And just another Big Brother fan. Waiting to see what the heck is going to happen. What is going to happen? I am just ripping my freaking eyeballs out with my fucking fingers right now. Excuse me with the F stuff, but that's how excited I am. I'm so excited. I think it's going to be the biggest, best Big Brother ever, especially with everything that's going on. And I don't even know if I'm ready for it in my heart, like my little heart. It's not going to be able to handle this, but I'm.
You have a big heart.
I have a big heart. I'm so excited. And oh my gosh, I can't wait for us to be talking about Big Brother in a few weeks. So excited.
Yep.
So excited. So thank you so much, Cowboy. Do you have any last parting words before you saddle up and ride into that sunset, you little cowboy, you?
You know, I tell you what, I'm excited. We've got, you know, my round table coming shortly to, you know, talk about Big Brother. And I'm really excited to get back on the air every week and tell my inside the Big Brother. And I tell you what, you know, Michelle, I've known you for several years now. And I tell you what, we both love
this game that we love so much, and it's just around the corner, and I'm anxious as well.
Absolutely. I think we're just all ready to see what they have in store, because I'm telling you, I think they had their dealt hands, and they threw them all back, and they're like, give me a new hand.
Yep.
It's a new game, and it is time to cut out the crap, cut out the fat, and give us what we want.
Get it on.
Get it on. It's on like Donkey Kong, okay?
That's how you're going down.
Yeah. Oh, shit. All right.
All right,
well,
guys.
I hope I'm on your team, Cowboy.
Me too, baby.
Thank you so much, Cowboy. We love you. We adore you. We can't wait for the round table. So, as usual, your kids and everything, I know that's like a huge thing in your life. God bless them. Hope they are well.
Yeah, my daughter's at camp. I'm going to miss her.
Aww. Well, I hope you have a great night. Enjoy your night watching. I know we're all going to be with our eyes, the toothpicks, watching all this stuff that we got to watch tonight. So, thank you again, Cowboy. Have a good night.
Thank you. Come on in, babe.
Thank you all.
And
have a good night.
Good night.
You too.
And, of course, Joe, we love you. Do you have any last things to say before, you go off and watch your shows and have a little fun tonight?
I just love everybody, out there, and I'm sorry about, not doing the Chicago thing. And if I can, maybe I'll fly out to Adam's party in New York. So,
there you go.
He's got everybody coming in. So, I don't know.
Thank
you. I don't know if Ms. Costas is going, but
I honestly, with work's been so crazy lately.
Okay.
It's been so much. So, but maybe you never know.
Watch out, Crazy James will be there.
Okay. Thanks.
I'm there.
Bye,
thank
Michelle.
You for calling in, Joe.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, Cherry. Love you.
Love you too.
Is my Dina still on?
She is, but yes. We're down to about.
Okay, I just want her to say bye before we gotta go.
Good night. Good night. Much love. I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay. Thank
much
you for
love,
calling
girl.
In, Dina. Take care, hon.
Okay. You too, hon.
Okay, I'm gonna close the show, as I always do, with our beloved Ron. I know he's watching us and listening and waiting for Big Brother to start just like we are. So here's Ron. Take care, everyone.
So thank you guys for stopping in. I do want to say some other stuff real quick. I was thinking about, today, about how much We've had so many people that have been faithful callers to our show, but I thank everyone that has been part of the show and is still part of the show. But I want to say thank you to you guys. And the reality of people that, I do this for you guys, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and close it off tonight, and I appreciate everyone. I appreciate everyone. I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
Yeah, it was.
It was a great one. Take care, everyone. God bless
epic.
You all.
Epic.
Epic, epic show. Epic Manic Monday show, Michelle.
Epic.
Take care. Keep filling your prayers. And we hope to see you Wednesday for the show with Nabila Hannis and on Thursday for our roundtable show. Take care, everyone. Be kind to each other. Good night.
Night.